First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 21. Rather a long passage, but we will be reading through that. Just a second. On the Audacity, make sure you have the source as the mixer, the USB. Okay. All right. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 21. Everybody there? Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you different from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. But we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Father, we want to thank you so much for this morning that you've given to us once again, and for the passage that we just read. And Lord, as we are about to meditate on your word, we pray, Father, that you'd speak with us. Lord, teach us the truth from your word. Help us, Lord, to keep away from error. And Lord, we pray that you would reveal the things that are there on your heart and on your mind. And Lord, we pray that you would speak with each one of us, Lord, and with our church this morning. And we want to thank you for your presence among us. And we pray for all those who are listening online as well, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit this morning, that you would address the things that are there in our hearts and our minds, Lord. We want to submit ourselves to your word. And Lord, we give ourselves completely to you, Lord, this morning. And may your word be glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We've been studying through 1 Corinthians, and we saw last week that there is a day of judgment that is set for every single person that is building. We are all building something. Each one of us are building something. Whether you think you are building or not, you are building something because of the calling that God has given to you. And if you build on the foundation that is Jesus Christ, first of all, if you are not building upon Jesus Christ, then the day will come when you are tested, and because your foundation is not strong, you're gonna fail and fall. And everything that you build up is gonna collapse. But there is also another warning that even if you're building upon the foundation that is called Jesus Christ, if the material that you are using is not silver, gold, and precious stones, you will are also going to face ruin, because the day of judgment, you will be tested with fire. If you built your house, if you built your life based upon wood, hay, and straw, it is all going to be burnt up on the day of judgment, when the fiery eyes of Jesus Christ looks through and finds in your heart that everything that is hidden is made revealed, it is brought to light, and things are consumed. Then you will know that it had no value whatsoever. So be careful, as Paul says, be careful how you build your life. Be careful how you build your ministry. Be careful how you build the church. That is what Paul was addressing. And we also saw Paul was also addressing another group of people that are destroying the temple of God, right? There are people who are destroying the temple of God, and Paul addressed them as well. This morning, we see Paul continuing on in his defense about the ministry that he is doing. As we saw in the previous messages, bashing the pastor, bashing the minister, bashing those people who are serving in the church has been the favorite sport in the church in Corinth. Believers in the church in Corinth loved judging people, loved judging based upon personalities, loved judging based upon one's abilities or the lack thereof, or one's ability to speak eloquently or the lack thereof. They were judging based upon just the outward appearance. And Paul is addressing that. He's saying, you people, you think you are some great wise people that you can judge others. I want to let you know that you are being carnal. And we said very clearly that people who are carnal are not the people that have no knowledge of the word. People who are carnal are not the people that do not come regularly to church or not participants in the church, but these are people who are in the church, who come regularly to church, people who know the word, and yet they choose to make silly things an issue in the church. That is basically what carnality is about. And this morning Paul is addressing that, and he's saying that the people in the church, including those who are in the position of leadership, must properly think about the calling that God has given to them, and the church also must think properly regarding the calling that was given to those who are ministering in the church as well. In the verse 1, he starts off saying, regard. He starts, consider. Right? This morning from this passage, though it is a long passage, I want to bring out three main points from this. Number one, the first point that I want to bring across this morning is that the standard of Christian leaders is set by God alone. The standard of a Christian leader or the Christian leaders in church is set by God alone. He says in verse 1, the word regard, it means that let man so consider. The word for regard there, it means you do certain calculations. You do make certain decisions regarding the minister or the person who is preaching or the person who is acting as a pastor, as in the role of a pastor in the church. He goes on to say that you consider them, you calculate them as servants. Now this word servant is a very unique word used in the Bible. The word here basically means an under rower. You know, you have these big ships back in those days. They had ships. They didn't have steam engines. They didn't have electrical engines and, you know, generators and all those things as we have now. Back in those times, people would row. There used to be people that would be given the task. Usually they are servants, they are slaves. And they would be chained to the row, and you probably saw this in movies and other things. And they would be rowing, and there would be a master that would stand there and whip them and make sure that they would row. That is the word, the one who is rowing. And in fact, the one who is at the lowest point of rowing, that is the toughest place. As you keep going lower, it becomes much more harder to row because of the water pressure. And that is the word he is saying, he is using. We consider us, you evaluate us, calculate us, and think about us as people who are under rowers, people who are working at the belly of the ship, rowing the boat. And the responsibility of the under rower is that whatever the direction the captain says they must be rowing, he must obey that. Right? Orders will come from the captain's deck, and say, okay, so many knots, we have to be traveling at such speed and in this direction, and the rower's duty is to row in that direction. That is what he is saying, that the pastor's job is to row the boat. Right? We could all sing, row, row, row your boat. That's what the pastor's job is. That's what the minister's job is. And it's very tough, as Paul is saying here. The job of the minister is not to move in the direction that he wants it to be moved, but to move the church in the direction that Christ wants it to be moved. And another word that Paul uses here, it says, as servants of Christ and as stewards. The word for steward is actually another Greek word which basically means a master of the household. It means the master of the household. This is the same, the basic, the root word is the word that where we get the word economics as well. It basically means that one must be calculating and one must be a good manager of the household of God. So Paul's point here is that do not think the preacher, do not think the pastor, do not think to be the one ministering in the church as a superman. Right? Do not think that he needs to be the one that needs to be highlighted. Do not think that the pastor or the one who is ministering to be the one to have the greatest of all the honors. He's saying they are nothing but simply servants doing their job and stewards that are in the household of God. And he qualifies that they are stewards of the mysteries of God. Right? Now that is what is the qualification here. They are not simply people who are doing things out on their own. They are not doing things because of their business, nor they are doing it because of other means, but they are stewards of the mysteries of God. We will see that a little bit more later on. And in verse 2 he says that they must be faithful in doing what God has called them to do. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And that faithfulness, again, is in the mystery that God has revealed. So, the most important meaning here that he's saying, that the pastors or the ministers must be faithful people who are rowing the boat even through tough times, even through tough ways, and being stewards in the household of God in order to expound the word, in order to unravel the mysteries of God. Now that is the primary duty of the pastors or those who are called in the church. And this morning that is something that we must all understand very clearly. Right? I hope and I pray that there are more pastors, more ministers that would come out of this church. Right? You know, all of you young people, remember this. When you call to a minister, when you call to minister to somebody or to be a pastor or to be even a leader, you know, it could be among men, it could be a leader among women. The main thing that God expects of you is that he expects faithfulness. Right? God is not bothered about your talent. God is not bothered about your abilities. God is not bothered about how much you are making a name for yourself. That is not what God is going to consider. God is going to consider your what? Faithfulness. Right? We see that when the people, that the servants, when the master had returned back and he's taking an account, what did he say to them? Well done, thou good and faithful. Faithfulness. Faithfulness, the word faithfulness basically means consistency. Consistency. Right? That faithfulness means to set your mind on something and you keep going, pursuing that faithfully. Right? It is describing a condition. Okay? Faithfulness is an adjective that is describing who you are, the faith that you have. It is describing that you are pursuing that faith. That is when you become faithful. Faithfulness doesn't mean when I feel like. Faithfulness doesn't mean when it is not raining. Faithfulness doesn't mean when the sun is out and it's nice and bright, when everything is happy. Faithfulness means even during those tough times, even though during those difficult days, even when your body, physical body, is not cooperating with you, you still get up and you still continue to do what God has called you to do. That is what the word faithfulness means here. See, for Paul, it was very important that he was a faithful minister of the mysteries of God. Paul says elders in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 verse 20 and 21 and verse 27. And also we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13, for Paul it was very important to be a person that is faithful to the word of God. Right? Even in his dying times, Paul says to Timothy, bring the parchments, bring the scrolls, bring the word of God to me so I can study them and I can be diligent in what God has called me to do. And that's the word that he uses with Timothy as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, be diligent. Right? That's another way of describing faithfulness. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So being diligent, a worker who is approved by God, right? So you be diligent in what God has called you to do. The word, a verb, required, it means it is demanded by you. God demands that you be faithful, that you continue to be faithful in the things that he has called you to. And it is most important. Faithfulness to God's commandments is more important to Paul than his own life. And that's what we see. No matter where he went, whatever he is doing, he considered being faithful to God is much more important than anything else in his life. And Paul repeats that again and again in the letters that he is writing. So Paul goes on to say that the standard that is set by a Christian leader, is set by God himself. And he says, no human court can judge this. Right? No human court can judge the faithfulness that you have towards God. No human being can judge. That is what he's saying. Paul is saying, it is of a very small thing that I be judged by this church, by the church in Corinth, about my faithfulness to God. It is a very small thing that I am judged by you, whether I am faithful or not. And Paul goes on to say, I don't even judge myself either. Right? Even my conscience is clear, but even on that, I simply do not rely upon my own conscience. Sometimes you have these doubts, especially if you are called to minister, if you are in the position of a pastor, and I have gone through that, and I'm sure others have gone through that before me. Like, you have this thing where you have this thing in your conscience. Am I doing enough? Is this right? Right? Always you have that doubt. I mean, you have your own conscience speaking against you sometimes. And it is a struggle, right? Is this okay? Is this not okay? I mean, did I do it properly? Did I not do it properly? Was there something that I missed? You know, you're always judging based upon your conscience. And Paul is saying, hey, guess what? Regarding faithfulness to God, I don't even let my conscience judge me. Let alone you, a person judging me. The thing that we all must submit to is submit to the judgment of God. Paul is saying, guess what? I will wait until the Lord tells me the good and faithful servant. I don't go around on both sides. Both sides, right? Paul is saying, I don't go around patting my back and say, hey, good, faithful servant. I've been faithful. You know, I've been really good. I've done this. I've done that. Sunday after Sunday, I came up and I preached my heart out. I did all this. I met people. You know, I ministered to people. I shared the gospel. You know, I traveled here. I spoke here. I did all this. And Paul would just say, you know, oh, good job. Good job, Paul. You've been very faithful. Paul's saying, no. I don't let my conscience judge me either. Or take it the other way. Oh, I've not been so good. I could not travel here. I couldn't speak with this person. I couldn't preach this Sunday as effectively I thought I could share. Or, you know, I couldn't travel over here. I had this problem. I had that issue. And I just could not do what God has called me to do. Oh, I'm such a terrible and a bad person. No. Paul saying, I don't let my conscience judge me either, because I'm going to stand before God and He is going to declare whether I have been faithful or not. He is going to reveal things that are there in my heart, and I will be subject to His judgment rather than human judgment. So Paul is saying, I don't rely upon your judgment. I don't rely upon my own conscience for judgment. Therefore, he says in verse 5, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. That, my friends, is your goal. That when you stand before God, and He brings out things that are there hidden in your heart, and He reveals them and brings them to light. And after bringing them to light, and He says to you, good job. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or He says to you, you wicked and slothful and faithless servant. Right? Until the Lord says, and He passes the judgment, hold on to things. That's what Paul is saying. Right? And we see this very, very often in the churches. Now, I am not saying that the church should not judge based upon the things that are being taught, whether they are in the scriptures or not. They should not examine the preacher. I don't think that is what Paul is saying here, but he's pretty much very clearly saying that having this attitude of trying to bring down the person who is preaching in the church, trying to bring down the person who is ministering in the church, just based upon the outward appearances, Paul is saying, hey, listen, you're making a big, big mistake here. Right? Simply bashing the pastor, bashing the minister is not a thing that the church must be engaged in, because it is going to cause to divisions. It is going to lead to factions within the church. Some people are going to say, I will follow this man. Some people are going to say, I will follow this man because I think he's better. And some other group will say, I think he's better, so I'm going to follow him. Paul is saying, hey, listen, nobody follows anybody. Who do you think you are? Nobody is great. Everybody is the same. That's what Paul is saying. No minister that is received, and he goes on to say, no person that has received from something from the Lord is greater than the other. What is it that you have received that you have so much to boast about? You are not born with this, right? This is not your birthright that you have to have all these things in order for you to preach and teach and All these abilities are given to you by the Lord. He is the one who's given it to you. So what do you have to boast about? That is what Paul is saying here. So nobody judges, but except we let the Lord judge us. Can we turn up the... Sorry guys, we lost electricity here again.
Can you all hear me? If you can hear me, can you just put your thumbs up? Okay. Audible? Okay. All right, cool. Sorry, we lost electricity here because of the rains, I think. There's a lot of disruption with electricity. Oh, it's back. So we'll continue with this so there's no interruption. Right? But I can put this on. So. Alright, so we'll continue on. Paul is saying in the first point that we just heard this morning that the standard of a Christian leader is set by God alone. It is God who is the one who is going to ultimately judge people. And it is He who's going to bring the things out that are there hidden in a person's heart. And He's going to reveal things. So let's not judge before the time. Let's not be people who pass on judgment
before the Lord passes the judgment, and he says whether somebody is done in a proper way or not. So the standard for a Christian leader is set by God alone. That is our first point here. Second thing that we see here in this chapter is that suffering is a hallmark of Christian ministry. Verses 6 onwards. We see that suffering is the hallmark of a Christian ministry. Paul goes on to say that when God has called you to do ministry, when God has called you to serve Him, He has called you to suffer along with Him as well. Paul says that you, the church, have been reigning as kings, as though you have no care, right? Paul says then, you know, but look at the way that we have served among you, right? He says in verse 8 onwards, he says, you are already full, you are already rich, you have reigned as kings without us, and indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we might also reign with you. For I think God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. And Paul goes on to say that we have been fools for Christ's sake so that you can be wise. And we've become weak so that you can be strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. And he says, we hunger, we thirst, we are poorly clothed, we are beaten, we are homeless, we labor, we work with our own hands. We are reviled, we are persecuted, we endure, we are defamed, and we are become the filth of the world, and we have become the offscouring of all things until now. That is what the ministry. Hey, Guess what? Anybody here, you want to be a pastor? Do you want to be a minister? This is what you're called to. You're called to be what? A person? A person that would be condemned to death. A person that would be a spectacle to the world and to angels. A person that is weak. A person that is poorly clothed. And person beaten and homeless, labor, working with your own hands. You will be reviled. You will be persecuted. You will be defamed. And he's saying you will become the filth of the world. You will become the offscouring of all things. You would become the scum. You know what the scum is? Right? Have you all ever washed dishes that are so greasy? And you wash right at the bottom. There is that sticky stuff, that greasy stuff that is so, nobody wants to do that job, right? I don't know if you young people, if your parents ask you to wash the dishes, you will wash the plate, you will wash the glass, and you leave all the really tough ones, right? You leave them in the sink for mummy to wash or somebody else to wash, maybe, right? So that bottom portion, that is what is basically the scum. That's what Paul is saying. That is who we have become, right? You see, when you are called to ministry, we see that one of the hallmarks of a Christian ministry is that of suffering. Now, I've seen so many young people that love, and especially these days, we have all these celebrity pastors, right? Celebrity pastors who are dressed the best, right? I don't know, there's a Instagram account called Preachers and Sneakers. Have you seen that? Preachers and Sneakers. So each sneakers the pastors wear, they are like thousands of dollars. That's just the shoes, okay? That's the shoes that they wear. It's just thousands and thousands of dollars. Very expensive clothing. Paul is saying we are poor and we don't even have proper clothes. We are homeless and you know, you would see some of these pastors' homes, they are like these $1 million homes, right? You would find all that. And he's saying, listen, we work with our own hands and we are not simply taking money from other people. Though I'm not against churches supporting the pastors, but I'm against those people who they know they have people suffering in their church and yet the pastors take a big salary. I mean, to me, I just cannot justify that, right? Work with your own hands, then it is good. You do your own hard work. You earn your own money, then that is good. But if you are simply taking stuff from the church when the people in the church are still suffering, now that does not justify anything. And we see that this is what Paul is saying. This is what ministry is like. Right? You know, I met once one very young person that was wanting to get into ministry. And he said, you know, I want to get into ministry. Yeah? But, you know, I'm praying, you know. I don't want anything less. I want all the best, but, you know, I want the most comfortable place. I want to be in a nice place, you know, have a comfortable, support package, you know, and then I want to have like a nice car and a nice house for my family. You know, I want everything from the best, you know, otherwise I'm just going to be a little bit disappointed with the ministry, right? Then I had to tell him, hey, listen, well, being in the ministry does not mean that you get to enjoy everything. It's labor. It's intense work. Only if you're ready for that labor and intense work where you will lack things, where there will be times where you will have to go even hungry. You will be clothed less. You will be having things less. And would you still be faithful to serve God? If you're ready for that, then you can come into ministry. Otherwise, my friend, you're going to be super disappointed. Right? We have all these people that are making, minting money, asking people for prayer, and then say, you pray and there is a charge for each prayer. Right? You want a blessing, you want a new job, there is a charge for that. You send your prayer request for a new job, and you send X amount of money with it. You want a wife, you send your prayer request with it, and you send X amount of money with it. You want children, You send your prayer request with along with it X amount. You want healing? Same thing, right? Put money into the envelope and we will pray. And all these people, If the prayer request comes without money in it, they just toss it out. Right? And I'm sure they just keep the money and they throw the prayer request out as well. But I hope at least some of them are praying. But that it has become a business for a lot of people. They somehow think that ministry, being in ministry means just making money. And Paul is saying, no, 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 that is exactly opposite of what God has called us. He's saying all the apostles, right, they were physically in pain. They did not have enough food. They did not have enough to drink. They did not have good clothing. And they were mistreated. They did not have a house. And they are simply ordinary laborers. That is what Paul is saying. How much contrast that is to modern day today's preachers that we see, right? It's absolutely the biggest contrast that we find in the modern world that we live in. Right? Paul is saying that is who we have been. And so Paul is saying that if you are called to ministry, he's saying that you be ready to face all these things. These are the things. This is our lifestyle. You want to know, one day if you travel with Paul, a day with Paul, this is what you would find with Paul. Right? If you travel with him, if you are with him, if you spend a day with him, this is what you will find with Paul. And Paul is saying, we did all these things. For what? For the sake of the church. Right? We did all these things for your sake. So Paul is saying, hey, listen, I am spending everything that I have in my body in order for you as church to be prosperous, in order for you church to be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. And you think you can become prosperous by your own self and you can rule and reign. You are behaving as though you are already in the kingdom of God and you are already passing judgments on people and you are already trying to live a comfortable life. That is what Paul is saying. Hey, listen. Your judgment about those people who are serving in the church is absolutely wrong. You have no rights to judge in that way. So Paul saying that, you know, we are mistreated. Though we are mistreated, we try to bless you. We endure. We make peace. Right? We as servants of God, we are people who are giving. We are giving the most. Now that is very typically opposite in a church, right? Who is the most receiving person in the church? Who? The pastors, right? He's the most receiving person. Paul is saying, no, no, no. If you are called to minister, you should be the most giving person, right? That is what he is saying. So what a big contrast here. So the second point that we are talking about here, that you As a person who is called to ministry, you must lay down your life. And Paul is saying that is what we are doing. We are called to serve with the Lord and in His sufferings as well. Point number three that, and I'm going to close with this. Paul, he uses this example of being a parent. All right, Paul says his relationship to the church is that of a parent or of that of a father. Now let me ask you, give you an illustration. Let's say there are two parents. The first parent, you know, the child has come to the parent and he said, Mommy, I want to go with my friends out today for a party. We are all going, we will be having a big party and we're going to enjoy things and, you know, I won't be coming home in the night, and I'm just going to spend the whole night out. And the mother says, oh, you're going? Okay, beta. Go, huh? You want some money? Here, take. And the child says, oh, mom, you're the greatest mom in the world. Oh, so good you are. You just gave me everything I asked for. You are the best mom. And he gives her a hug and kisses her and says, You're the greatest mom. You did everything that I asked. Right? Then you have a second parent. The child is coming and say, Mommy, I want to go party with my friends and this is what they're doing. we're going to go on this, and we're going to, whole night we're going to party and enjoy, and I want to go, can I go? Mommy says, no, you cannot go. You cannot go for this. I'm saying no to it. The child becomes grumpy and angry and says, storms on off the room and says, you are such a bad mother. You don't let me enjoy anything. You don't give me anything. I asked you only a very small thing. I only wanted to be with my friends. You don't even let me be with my friends. You don't give me any freedom. You are such a bad mother. Who do you think is correct? I want to ask you that question, because that is what Paul is going to come to. Paul is saying, I could be either one of them, and it's all going to depend upon you. Okay? He says, goes on to say that as the person who started the church in Corinth, Paul was the one who started the church in Corinth, and he says, I am like a father to you. You may have many stewards, you may have many people who had come there and you had preached the gospel to you, but I fathered you. I have that right and authority as a father. And Paul says, guess what? Don't think that I will not come to you. Right? The church in Corinth has become notorious. They have become like little children that are running around doing their own things. And Paul has already sent one letter to them, as we saw earlier. Right? This is the second letter that he's writing to them. And he's saying, I've already sent you one letter, and I've also sent you Timothy in the verses that we read this morning. That even then they are becoming like children. They're just fighting with each other. They're quarreling with each other. And Paul is saying, listen, I am like your father, and I can come to you in either of these ways. I can come to you with a rod, or I can come to you graciously. Right? I can come to you graciously. Right. So Paul is saying, you the church, you are going to decide how I'm going to respond to this situation. Right? In verses 15 onwards, for though you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in church. Now some are puffed up, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the word of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness? And Paul is saying here, listen, as a father, I am going to come to you, and I could come to you because you have become arrogant. You have become puffed up. The word puffed up is the word arrogant. Or you become proud. You become inflated. Right? People who are proud, where do they walk? They walk 5 inches above the ground, right? Because they are so inflated, right? So that's what he's saying. You are so inflated. You're so puffed up that you cannot touch the ground, right? And that's the word picture here, that you are floating around, right? Thinking that you are somebody great. But he's saying, listen, when I come to you, things are going to be different. You want me to come to you, and don't think that I'm not going to come to you, and I'm going to come to you. And when I come, I'm going to bring the rod. When I come to you, your word is not going to prevail, but the word of God is going to prevail. Because the word of God is going to be in power. And it will be your word against the word of God. Now you decide how I should be when I come to you. So the word for rod is the word for stick. So Paul is saying, I'm going to be a disciplining father. Or you want me to be a gentle father among you. So the church can decide how a minister should respond. Alright? Now this is as much as true. Like we often hear about the abuse of the pastors and on that. But we also must hear, there's another side to this, is that the congregation also becomes unruly. Right? An unruly congregation that is that is become carnal, they must be corrected. And Paul is saying, I could come to you and correct you with a rod as well. And it will be ugly. But even then, I would be faithful minister. If I have to come and correct you, even with the rod, I would still be considered as a faithful minister to the Lord because of the power of the word of God. It will be your word against the word of Christ. Right? So you can decide. Right, my church, this morning, sometimes I have felt that. Okay, I felt that I should bring down the rod and go to the person and just say, what in the world are you doing? Come on. I wanted to say sometimes say that, but I've kept myself. I said, no. Let's give them some more time. And it has always worked, all right? It has always worked. But don't take it to the extent where you would have to bring a rod of correction. I've seen some really senior pastors. They actually, especially dealing with some of the youth, I've even seen them use the rod actually, like real rod, a real stick. They took care of the situation because the person has become very unruly. You don't want to use that. It is very ugly, but still, it is beneficial for the church. That's what he's saying. And Paul goes on after this. He sets this premise and he's going to start correcting them in chapter 5 onwards. And the first thing that he's going to address is the issue of sexual immorality that was there in the church. And Paul is going to address that in chapter 5, which we will see in next week. Closing this morning, few things, 3 points that we can take home. First one, the ultimate evaluator of your life is Jesus Christ. The ultimate person that you're going to judge you is Jesus Christ himself. And number two, to be called to minister to Christ it means to suffer with Christ. Don't simply think that because you are suffering, you are doing badly, you are being displeasing to God. No, my friends. Even when you are suffering, you are doing the right thing because you are pleasing God. Number three, we don't assume that all things go well because we don't assume all things are simply going well, but sometimes we need the correction of the Father as well, especially in the church. You could decide which way the minister should respond to you, right? As a member in the congregation, that's one of your responsibility. That's one of the things that you can decide. How should the pastor approach me? Should he approach me in gentleness, or do I want him to approach me with a rod? Okay, you are in charge of that. That's one of the privileges that you get to choose from. That is what this chapter is about. And so, may God bless you. I hope you've learned some things about church and church life. We are primarily dealing with that. And I think it's important that we all understand and mature and grow in these areas as well. May the Lord bless you, and may He bless His word that we heard this morning. Let's close in prayer.